But since they're not Nisuin, you know, we can go a little more, hopefully a little more quickly. So I just also want to give you the koros for the next one. And then before I leave, I'll give you also, you know, fuller makoros. But after Tanai Ba'onis, we're going to discuss the, even today we'll discuss some of the problems of two things, Afkeinu and Kedushe Kesef, or the concept of Divrei Sofrim. So maybe we'll just do the Divrei Sofrim part first. Is Kedushe Kesef Drabanan or Daraisa? You know, the in the Shaka Vitaria, well, we'll see already today, because we're going to start with the Shaka Vitaria. There are both of Shal Rashi and Rashi, of course, and also to focus on Shitas HaRambam. So, obviously, the Mishnah and Kedushin Beis Min Aleph, which we know, the Mishnah's counts Kesef among the three, and then the Gemara's, you know, Kicha Kicha Miste Ephron. Also, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Tes Omid Beis. The Gemara says Ubibia Minalon. There, the Gemara discusses whether or not Kedushe Bia stands alone, or, you know, Dafka in conjunction with Kesef. You know, what is the relationship between Kesef, Shtar, and Bia as standalone Kinyanim? That's what I want to look at. That's the Gemara on Tesumid Beis, starting from Ubibia Minalon until Ho the Gomer Motzi, Gomer Umachnis. Okay? Then the Gemara in Ksuvah Staf Gimelam and Aleph, our Gemara, and Rashi. Also the parallel Gemara in Vav Basra, Mem Chesamid Beis. The Gemara appears in a bunch of places, but there I'm interested in Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, or the Perush of Rabbeinu Gershom in Vav Basra, has mostly the Perush of Rabbos of Shal Rashi, but an added little twist. And then, of course, the question is, what does the Rambam hold? So that's the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, Perek Gimel Halacha Chaf and Chaf Aleph, Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, and of course the Nosei Kelim there. That's a big free for all. What does the Rambam really mean? The Rambam seems to have changed the Girsa a couple of times. Sefer Mitzvos Ase Reish Yud Gimel, Pirush Mishnayos Beis Amud Aleph in Kiddushin. There's a Tshuva the Rambam. I forgot the number. If you can look it up, the number. But it's also quoted by the Ramban. And Sefer Mitzvos, and of course that's critical. The Ramban and Sefer Mitzvos Shorish Beis. In the old versions, it's on Chaf Aleph, you know, the page is Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. In the Chevel version of the Asagot HaRamban, it's pages 34 to 38. Oshei, Dibur Maskal V'hinei Ra'inu Lo L'Rav Shekasa B'Sefer Nashim, the Ramban's discussion of this, where he quotes this tshuva. And also the tshuva of Rabbi Ramban HaRambam. Again, Birkas Avram, Simen Mem Dalet. On the general idea of Divrei Sofrim, which is a massive topic, but again, we're just going to, you know, drive by and apply it and whatever. Sefer Mitzvos Shorish Beis, obviously, is the context. So the Rambam's view there. And just, I wanted to give you four or five other Rambams, just to fill in the picture. Some examples. Shchita Perek Hei Halacha Yud Gimel. I'm sorry, Perek Hei Halacha Gimel. Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Hei Halacha Hei. Hilchos Avel, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, we know. That's, Oris Varusa Medivrei Sofrim. Sota Beis Ches, we know. That's the one we just talked about, Benika Mikol Avon. So just a couple of other examples, to highlight what I think is really going on in the Rambam. So that is, again, we'll try to do it quickly, but that's Rambam's Kesef Medivrei Sofrim. In addition, you know, what are the other ways to read the Gemara if you don't read it like Rabbos of Shal Rashi? And again, we'll discuss the problems right away. So just, you know, start looking at the Rishonim Malatar, obviously, Rashi and Tosos, and the, you know, Ramban, the Rajba here, Tosos Ria Lavan here. I'll give you a few other things to look at. There's a Shita Mekubetzis here. I think it's 21, column 1 in the old Shita Mekubetzis. Shita Mekubetzis has a sensational reading of the Gemara, about the possibility of Akira Mikanu Lahaba, not Akira Lamafreya, which is shocking. We'll start with the look at the parallel Gemaras, obviously, of Afkeinu. Afkeinu appears in Shas in a bunch of places. Right, it appears here. It appears, twice in Gittin. You know, in the beginning of Hashaleach. Look at that Gemara and Rashi and Tosos there. That's what is it? Lamed Hayam and Aleph, and also just in Yavamos as well. Okay, I'll give you the parallels, and we'll Let's go. Again, we're not going to take too long on it, but again, Afginu is just a, you know, very challenging topic and a very important, you know, topic. So that's our next two, but basically, you know, one that is two, Kiddushei Kesef and Afginu. Again, we'll round out a few more Makoros for Afginu, and then Yesh Kochim Yad Chachamim, you know, Lach or Dover Mat Torah, basically. And then after that, you know, hope, maybe I'll also give you before I leave, just in case, you know, you have a little time on your hands, already for Gimel Amid Beis. After that is Gimel Amid Beis, you know, the problem of Vilidrosh Lehud Ones Shari, which is a bit of a Kiddush HaShem, Yehorig Valyabar Sugya. Again, we're not going to do all of that because that's massive, but at least we'll do part of it and the relevant, the local part of that. And then comes after that, Kosa Novel. So that's our, you know, that's our projected plan going forward. But for today, we want to begin with the question of Tanai Ba'odah. So let's have somebody read for us. Let's see if we call on here. David, want to... Okay, let's just get through the Shaka Vitaria first, and then we'll discuss what the issues are, and we'll try to start, you know, pinning them down. Okay, Amar Rava? Say that again? A little louder?
What?
A little louder, I just can't, it's hard to hear. One sec, so before we get to that, Amar Rava, will the Inyan Gittin Eino Chein? That's obviously... You can't just read that. That has, you know, obviously that means that's referring to continuity. Whatever we just said is not true for Gittin.
Right.
Okay, so what did we just say? What is it referring to? Would be a valid excuse. Right. In other words, you wouldn't trigger Higiyazman if it was on. That seems to be the conclusion that we're coming to, that if it's Chalahu Chalsahi, and certainly Takanas Bezdin, right, certainly Pirsanida, Bishas Vesta, maybe even Shalom Bishas Vesta, right? The Gemara seems to be concluding that the din of Igiyazman does not work. Okay, so then the Gemara says, but by the way, don't think that the same idea would apply to Gittin. So, Mainyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, Mainyan Gittin Eitzel Igiyazman. Right, that's the first question that we want to know. Right, so we already noted, David, that what? Exactly. So if you hold like the Meiri, in other words, to make this work in the most effective way, right? In other words, there are really two ways to look at the Gemara, right? One is to say, well, this is a very broad. This is to, you know, to preclude a misconception, and you know, it's a big misconception, you know, not a little misconception. In other words, it's way off base. So the whole point here is that Igiyazman has nothing to do with the next topic, and that's why it's different. And the reason it has nothing to do with it may be because Higiya Hazman, you know, is not about Tanai at all. Don't think that Higiya Hazman is about Tanai and therefore it's relevant to the next topic. You know, that's completely off base. Higiya Hazman is either about Knas, right? Or maybe it's about the Hagdara of Yom HaNesuin or Nesua B'Miktsas, as we've discussed. And therefore, quite naturally, you know, Lenin and Gittin, if you're talking about Tanai bonus, you know, that has nothing to do with Igiyazman. Thank you so much. That is one way to read the Gemara. The other way to read the Gemara, which is kind of the way the Meiri reads the Gemara, is that it's a small misconception. Meaning, since Igiyazman is a Chiyuv Rabbanan, which imposes Mzonos, or maybe even an implicit Tanai once they set the date, so it's implicit that, you know, the Chiyuv Mzonos begins, since that is the case, so you would think that these are identical, and you're not so much wrong either, because they are the same topic, but you should know that there's a difference. Now the question becomes, well, why is there a difference? If they're both topics of Tanai Ba'onis, why the difference? Okay, so that is, that's a way to read that law. And that clearly is a Machlokas Rishon, right? Okay, so now let's continue. So now we want to clarify, you know, what this is. Either way, the Gemara seems to be saying that if you make a Tanai in the case of Get, again, the Gemara is a little misleading because you know, it's talking about Gittin, right? And really, initially at least, the Gemara doesn't really think it's about Gittin. They think it's about Tanai, and Gittin is a Chetimtzi. But since we've already read the Gemara, we know that in the end of the day, the Inyan Gittin part's going to end up being, you know, important again. But first, the Gemara doesn't think it's anything to do with Gittin. So you could just take the words, Inyan Gittin Enochein, and, you know, you have my permission temporarily, you know, to substitute the words, Ula Inyan Tanai Enochein. Okay? Don't really cross it out. I mean, they're obviously do that sometimes. You know, cross out the... You know, but he didn't mean it really either. So, okay. So, Ula Inyan Gittin Enochein means Ula Inyan Tanai Enochein. Okay. So what do we mean? Go ahead. And especially, where does that come from? Go ahead. Minale, the Rabba.
So,
Minale, the how do we know this? So what happens? He makes a Tanai. Unfortunately, his mortality kicks in before the Tanai is completed, right? Which is sad, but, you know, we don't have to deal with him as a person for the moment. Umeis betok shnei masar chodesh, right? So clearly, there's no controversy about the psak. The question is, you know, since this is the case and this is the psak, are we implying that, you know, if it was a lesser trauma, you know, that it would be a get, right? Even though it would be an onus that would be responsible for the fulfillment of the get, right? Go ahead. Mesu de no get. So why is mesu no get? Because ain and get lachar misa. Okay, so we're not learning gittin right now, so we're not going to discuss that, but there's a huge machlokas rishonim about ain get lachar misa. The Rashi and Tosus, and then, you know, the Xos. You know, you're aware of it, David?
Somewhat, yeah.
Probably learned Gittin a couple years ago, right? Yeah. So what's the Machlokas? Just
So for Tosos, he says that Shemitas is Batel. Rashi says that there's no person to be the
Yeah, so this is the question. Is the problem of Ein Get Lachar Misa primarily connected to Ein Shlichus Lachar Misa, and it's a Shlichus problem? Or is it basically a problem? There's no Megarish, right? There's no Ishas, right? So this is a very big debate, and that's where the Xos, you know, gets involved in the whole thing, right? Can you have, in theory, could you have, you know, Shlichus, you know, without a Mishaleach? Right. That's one aspect of it, and the other aspect, of course, is, right, to what extent is, you know, Ishas just Poka when there's no husband? Right? How do we understand, you know, v'konas atzma b'shnei derachim, right? Beget, you know, uve misa saba, right? Is misa saba like get, you know, or no? It's more of a chiddush, and that gets into the whole discussion of, you know, famous truma sadeshen. What about Eishes Eliyahu, right? Eishes Eliyahu was no more. I mean, Eliyahu was no more, and therefore Eishes Eliyahu was no longer married to Eliyahu, but Eliyahu didn't, you know, didn't die in a normal way. So, you know, what do we mean when we speak about the matir of Misa Saba? Anyway, that's not our topic. We're not going to go into that right now, but that is a big debate. You know, this whole discussion, Rashi, Tosus, Xos, etc., both on the Shlichus Lachar Misa side of it and in terms of Ishus Lachar Misa and the way that Misa Saba works, part of it depends on the understanding of these cases and this Gemara. Okay? But not for us for right now. For right now, we're just going to accept that Ein Get Lachar Misa, that's a Vadai, but it sounds like, had it not been a problem of Ein Get Lachar Misa, that if it was Imlo Basi, because he was Chole, right, then the Get would be Cha. Which is another way of saying, if we had to formulate it, how would you formulate it, David? Which part of the Tanai? Just be more precise. If you had to just redefine this, because it's going to be important, might be important. You're at 99% there, or 93% there. I just need you to say two more words. But you basically are saying it. You have the right kavana. That's a question. Partly whether I could say that you have the right kavana. But that really depends a little bit on the sugya, right? So it's a bit of a catch-22. right? I'm not getting up to recognition of that. Okay. Okay. Meaning the question of reading one's mind, right? Right. So anyways, what we have here is a case of what? Kiyu matnai al yadeonis. Right? Because the guy said, Imlo basi ad yad beis kodesh, hareze get. He imlo basid, right? If one can say that quickly with hyphenations, ba'onis. If he's kola. That is, he didn't come, he didn't show up at yud beis kodesh. But the not showing up, which is the kiyum atnai in this case, that's why I'm emphasizing it, it's kiyum atnai al de'ones. What are we saying? Shema kiyum atnai? Kiyum atnai de'ones shema kiyum atnai? Is that the way to read the Gemara? And what would happen, what I'm asking is, what would happen, let's say, the Tanai was formulated in the opposite. Let's say he said, right, I'll ask in two ways. Let's say he said, im basi, right, ad yud beis chodesh, let's say, hareza get. So well, let me ask you two other questions. Let's say he was ba, the ones. He didn't want to come, but somebody hijacked him, and they brought him there and knocked him out and, you know, transported him against his will. Right? That would also be a case of kiyum hatnai al yadei ones. Right? But it would be, instead of a kiyum hatnai b'shev al tase, it would be kiyum hatnai b'kum ba'ase al yadei ones. Okay? I don't mean that his part was kum ba'ase, but, right? It would be a kum ba'ase tanai al yadei ones. What we have is a shev al tase tanai al yadei ones. Would that matter? That's one question. Just thinking aloud, but obviously thinking aloud with the help of discussions of the Rishonim too. Well, what's the other question that we would want to know? We want to know, is that the same case? Is that the same thing? What else would we want to know?
We would want to know if he
is going to be so can't come. Excellent. If he's onus and he can't come and you need him to come,
right.
Or the other way. Let's say he can he's ba'ones, and therefore he doesn't come because he's ba'ones,
right.
Meaning what would you call that? Just to make it clear, there's bitul atnai al yedei ones, right? So let's say there's bitul atnai, not kiyum atnai al yedei ones. Right, not kiyum hatnai bekum ba'asei al yedei ones, but bitul hatnai al yedei ones. So if he does bitul hatnai al yedei ones, is that considered bitul hatnai? Or put it in a slightly different way, if you need kiyum hatnai, right, is it considered kiyum hatnai when there is no kiyum hatnai? But the reason there's no kiyum hatnai is because of ones. Okay, there's a lot of linguistic challenges here, a bunch of double negatives, right? If he's low bossy because of onus, right? But you have to use double negatives, and you have to use some either parentheses or hyphenations, right? The low bossy becomes, in other words, a category, right? And low bossy, right? So the question that we want to know is, this happens to be the hechetimsi of the Gemara here. The cave of Timsi of this Gemara is Kiyum Hatnai Kiyum Tanai Shal Shev Al Taisa Al Yedei Ones. Would it matter if it was Kiyum Hatnai Al Yedei Ones Bekum Vase? Would it matter if it was Lo Kiyum Hatnai Beglal Ha Ones? Or maybe even Bitel Hatnai Al Yedei Ones? And maybe even that was that different formulation of Lo Kiyum Hatnai and Bitel Hatnai, that sounds like two perspectives on the same case. It is two perspectives on the same case. Does that matter or not? Okay, so that's something we want to think about. Okay, let's keep going. Oh, so then it isn't a raya. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. Tani le Rachel, keep going. So we already know the din of
anger.
and get lachamisa. So it sounds like the you know, the idea that that's what we're coming to teach here is wrong, and really it should reflect something about kola and ones. Okay, go ahead. So the Gemara says no. Okay, what's that all about? Just quickly, we'll pick up some of these tosas in afterwards, but I don't want to. I'll make sure you go through the tosas, and I'll make a couple of quick aros on them. But I don't want to get bogged down with it right now. I want to talk about the bigger questions first. So, what's this about? What's the saying in the Gemara? We want to be exclude this shita that says that since you put the zman on the shtar, what you really mean to do is what? Right. So it's not so much what you said before is technically correct, but legally inaccurate. Right. It's not so much that yesh get lacharbisa, but that this is not get lacharbisa. Right. In other words, the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is that whenever you put the zman in the get, so implicitly you're making the get lamafreya, and if you make the get lamafreya, then even though the kiyum atnai, right, is lacharbisa, since the kalos is before the misa, so in get lacha misa is not going to be a problem. But we don't paskin that way. We think that just having gzman beget alone does not make it lamafrei, right? Okay, let's continue. So we still don't know. We still don't know anything basically. Veila. Oh, so now since it's a lamafreya case, there's no issue of get lacha misa. So now we're free to try to examine this on the merits of onus b'tanai. Okay, correct? So therefore, what do we see? We see that kiyum atnai al yidei ones shma kiyum atnai. Okay, certainly in the case of Sheval Tasa, because that's still a Sheval Tasa case. All the cases in the Gemara here are the same form, right? They're all kiyum atnai ba'ones, and they're all kiyum atnai b'sheval taisa. Okay, you might say, well, why is he making a fuss about that? Big deal. Okay, I'm just raising the question, just pointing out what it is, and then we'll see whether or not different approaches to this topic, justify any kind of distinction, right? Okay, so then the Gemara says, and this is already the first chink in the armor coming up. Go ahead. Oh, what is that? And why do I say it's the first chink in the armor? Or maybe you disagree? You have the right to disagree.
Because he has asked that his homies shouldn't share the
kibbutz. Nice. Shtera. Huh? anyways, you mean it like in the Yiddish sense or the Germanic sense or both? I'm not sure. Okay. So basically, why is that important, David? Excellent. Till we introduce this factor, certainly we could say that this is all a very formal halach. This is exactly 100%. That's exactly the issue. The question is whether or not kiyum tnai al yidei ones shma kiyum hatnai or not. But reading his mind, that's what I was referring to a little bit before, trying to figure out what would he have wanted? Right? What would Bartholomew have wanted? Right? So that's, questions can we ever know? But let's assume that we have like a pretty good, umdana, a good basis to reading his mind. Does it matter? Because in the end of the day, right, he set up a tanai, and a tanai is a transaction, and transactions are generally objectified. So, they need to be. Dvarim shabalei veinam dvarim, right? So the question is, does umdana play, a role in the question of yesh onus b'tanai or not? Do we really care what he would want, given that this is the way that he set up or structured, right, this particular Tanakh. So the Gemara here seems to be saying, possibly yes. Now again, to temper it a little bit, number one, this is a very objective kind of a Tanai, possibly. When somebody makes even the Tanai itself, why is he saying this in Lobasi, you know, Adyud Beis Kodesh? Right? You know, there can be two scenarios, obviously. One is, you know, I'm not sure, you know, whether I'm happy in this marriage. And, you know, I need to go away to, you know, some remote place in India to find myself. And, you know, if I come back within 12 months, if I don't come back within 12 months, I found myself one way. And right, that's one kind of scenario. But often, you know, we don't really think that that is or what should be happening. Oftentimes, what happened was people had to travel, or they went into dangerous situations, right? And they were worried that their wives, you know, would be, sadly in a limbo state of aguna, you know, if something were to happen to them and they couldn't come back, and it wouldn't be known exactly what happened to them. And as such, they said, you know, Lobasi Adyud Beis Chodesh, you know, Harei Zaget, and the whole point was that he didn't want her to be an aguna. Or in other cases, if there's, you know, no children, she didn't want her to be subject to yibum, right? So better there should be a get than she should be zakuka li yibum. And we even saw earlier in the year that there are, you know, there's this notion, you know, it's a big chiddush called like a get me'ava. We talked about, what happens when you have a get me'ava, you know, and in terms of, you know, a kiddushin, you know, subsequently, right? That was our discussion, and you know, the Trumas Hadesh, the Labush, and the Sefer Mitzrayim Sajigo, and we're trying to try to see whether there were any cases, you know, of kiddushin bal karka, you know, where the mitzarif problem, let's say, isn't ma'akev. Okay, so the point is, on the one hand, the Gemara here is introducing umdana, seemingly against the formality of this structured Tanai. On the other hand, it's a very powerful umdana in terms of what, you know, what he has in mind and why he's even motivated possibly to set up this. If he isn't doing it for his own reasons, he's doing it, you know, to protect her. So the idea that protection would certainly be mandated, right, in a situation of mace. And even if you go a step further, if you say, oh, this is a, you know, potential get me'ava, right, so you could say, oh, well, this is really built into the structure of what this get is, shalotipo kama yavam, so it is still an umdana, and it isn't, you know, it does seem to fly against the structure of the Tanai. But what I'm saying is, it becomes a very powerful either umdana or something that's, you know, inherent in the type of get that this might be. Okay, so we need to think about that. But either way, this is the first time that the Gemara has introduced possible umdana into the equation. Simple pshat is that if we can read his mind pretty well, then that's going to matter in the question of onus b'tana. Right? Okay, let's continue. So what is that? Same Tanai. Again, it's Kiyama Tanai Ideones. We still are talking about the same case, right? And but the problem here is not that he dies, not even that he's Kola, but some other onus takes place, some extraneous onus. Paska Mivra, the bridge falls down, and he's on the other side gesticulating wildly, right? I always picture, you know, this case, and he's screaming and yelling, you know, Chazid Asai, you know, and it's like so sad. You want to speak about the sadness?
It's a great verse of the Gemara.
Yeah.
That's not really something more than the Gersa where the story continues where he says, Chazadasai, and then he says, I'm
Oh my, how poignant!
Yeah,
I remember that. Here or in Gittin?
It's a, I don't know where the I forget where this is. I definitely have seen it. I was in Shiva.
It's almost like, you know, it's almost like reading Shira Shirim all over again. You know, Dodicha Makavar. You know, it's. Right, that's very good. I remember that. You're so bad. So but he's basically screaming and yelling, here I am, here I am. And he's on the other side of the bridge. You know, he's so close, you know, that it hurts. But as you say, but he's not, is he there or is he not there? Right? Because he does so. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Lav Shmei Masya. Lav Shmei Masya means what? That the Kiyum Atanai Al Yidei Ones. Right? Shma Kiyum. Okay. So go ahead. So here again, the Gemara introduces. Go ahead, Dilma. Yeah, this is something that you know is more onto the Shkiyach. So the question is, what is meant by this line in the Gemara? Again, I think there can be two approaches, right? If we think that umdana, that mind reading, you know, is very important. And so on. So we could say that's obviously the simple reading of the Gemara. You know, there's a difference between different types of onsen, right? This is something that happens, and therefore we hold him. You know, it's something that he should have thought of in advance, or it's in the back of his mind that could happen. He didn't make the contingency. Iudasin anafshe is a way of saying that you know, if it was important enough, and he really you know, authentically, you know, didn't want the get to take place under these conditions, then he should have taken measures. And therefore, you know, our reading is that, you know, there's not enough of an umdana here, you know, to challenge the structure. That's one possibility, again. If we think that the role of umdana should be very circumscribed, it should be very limited, right? And basically, it's more of a structural, formal question. Then how do you read, what's the other way to read the Gemara, would you say? Exactly. Maybe the din of ones here, you know, which is part of the equation, as we'll discuss, you know, maybe this doesn't qualify as an ones. An ones, the shchiach, lo shmei ones. But even in the world of ones outside of the Tanai, basically, that would be a way to test it. In other words, are we invoking here the principle of ones rachmana patri? Rashi, already in the beginning of the Gemara, says what? Let's just get this on the record. Yeah, which Rashi is it?
No. Yeah. On
Gimel Amud Aleph. Yes, everyone's on. Oh, the Raisa Lava Gittin, sorry. Shematzin the Tainus Onus Minat Torah, Shenemrol Narol Sasadav. And where does that come from, that Rashi? We'll discuss it more in a minute. David? First of all, is it interesting that Rashi quotes it, or Tamua, or... Interesting. Right. Not obvious. Not Tamua, but not obvious either, right? Why not obvious? The word doesn't bring it down here, number one. Okay, that's the beginning of it, being interesting.
Over in Gittin, they do.
One second. In Gittin? Where do they bring it down? Not in Gittin, but... In the Dharm. Right, you see the sugi in the Dharm. Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara there, speaks about Onus Rachmana Patre and Olnar Lo Sasadava. Question is, we'll see in a minute. The question is whether that is rejected or not. And whether the case is the same. See, the case is quite the same, at least where the Gemara initially quotes it. Nidreyonsin, right? We'll pick up on that. So it's interesting that Rashi quotes it here. Okay, but the question of how to read this Shaklavatarya directly affects that, right? So we're giving two possibilities now. One we're saying is, from on an umdana level, right? This ones de lo shchiach iu de afsera nafshe. You know, is part of in the mind reading that's going on. You know, we don't really think that this is justification to change the status, right? in terms of, you know, either because, you know, he allows this to happen, or he didn't take, you know, the proper measures to allow the umdana, at least here, you know, to be effective. That's one possibility. But then again, we're utilizing, you know, ritzono daito methods of trying to understand his or objectify his real interests and real will. Or, as we just said, as David said correctly, what we're saying is onus, tishchiach lo shma onus. And especially if this belongs to the bigger sugya of onus rachmana patre, lo naro l'sasa davar, which it very well might, then, you know, this should have consequences for that as well. Okay, let's continue. Two ways to read the Gemara so far. Ella Rava. Okay, you have two opposite extremes, right? You have the tznuos, who are really, you know, optimistic about their marriages and also extremely, you know, careful, you know, about even any chashash rachok of violating eishes ish, right? So they're always going to be projecting, you know, that maybe they're still married and that there was an ones, right, that took place. By the way, is there a connection between those two factors, psychologically and ideologically? Okay. It's an interesting point, right? Namely, is it just their caution? If you look at the Rishonim, they have different formulations. Is it just their caution, or is it also their optimism? And is there a relationship between people who are, you know, more optimistic and more cautious? Not in general, but about this particular area of issues. Anyway, that's the tznuos. We'll talk about it a little more, but it's an interesting phenomenon. And then, of course, the prutzos, who are quick to judge, right, and quick to be, you know, pessimistic, and to assume that that this is a get, and, you know, they're not they're not so worried about you know, the outside chance that it isn't, right, and it gives them cover, kind of. Okay, so mishum tznuos, mishum prutzos, we've defied the normal order. Okay? Where are we? Obika. What's that? So basically, what's the Gemara's conclusion? Now we know why the Gemara says, Olinyan get, Einochem. Right? Because it isn't just, from a Tanai point of view, it sounds like we now are concluding the Tanai, Beones, or Kiyama Tanai, or the Ones Loshma, Kiyama Tanai. Right? Against what we've been saying previously. And we don't need, oh, maybe we do. Do we need Umdanas for that or not? Hard to know. That's when the Gemara thought that Kiyum Tanai Al Yidei Ones, right? Lo Shma Kiyum Tanai. So the Gemara was using Umdanas. Now the conclusion is Kiyum Tanai Al Yidei Ones, Lo Shma Kiyum Tanai, because of the din of Ones. Is that Midin Umdana, or is that more of an objective halacha? Okay, we'll get back to it in just a sec. So let's just finish up the Shakla Tarya first. Go ahead. And then the Gemara says, how could this be that Minat Torah, what's the halakha here? Minat Torah, it's not a get. Because Yesh Ones B'Tanai. I mean, Ones counts even in the air. Ones is effective even in neutralizing a Tanai. So therefore, she is really still an Eishes Ish. Right? In other words, Kiyum Tanai B'Ones Lo Shma Kiyum Atanai. So then the question is, How do you say that it's a get? Go ahead. Mika midi daraisa. And that's where Rashi adds the words, as we discussed, right? Shematzino tainus onus minat Torah ulnaro l'sasa davar. He definitely formalizes and universalizes this halacha, okay, based on the Gemara in the Darim. Go ahead. The Gemara says, yeah, so this is the sensational din of Afkinu, and of course our two formulations here, we'll discuss all this when we get to it, but just to get it on the record, right? Why the double formulation? Do you need to say Kol Mekadesh Adatad Rabbanan Mekadesh before you say Afkinu Rabbanan Kiddush Minei? Are these two things or one thing? Is it the base? If there if it's one, like, what is the key? Is it Afkinu Rabbanan Kiddush Minei, and therefore willy-nilly Kol Mekadesh Adatad Rabbanan Mekadesh? Or is it Kol Mekadesh Adatad Rabbanan Mekadesh as a kind of an implicit Tanai, or kol hachachamim, one or the other, and that's the reason or basis for afkin rabbanu lekedushim hinei. Or are there two different dinim? Right, one is kol mekadesh adatad rabbanu mekadesh, and the other is afkin rabbanu lekedushim hinei. Okay, there's about three ways to read this relationship. We need to understand it well. Okay, and how does afkinu really work? How prevalent is it? What is it based on? Etc. Is it, you know, more again technical and narrowly understood, widely impactful? I mean, its impact is enormous, but narrowly understood, meaning there's some way, either through Tanai or through Hefker Bezen Hefker or something, you know, to reach back into the past and to undermine this ishus. Okay, again, the impact is enormous, but the technique isn't particularly you know, noteworthy conceptually. Or no, this is really also reflects something about, you know, the Koach HaChamim or the nature of Kiddushin. Kiddushin, you know, implicitly, you know, is open to Afkinu, right? Not just as a technicality. So these are the things that we have to look at when we discuss Afkinu. And then, of course, the next line, keep going, Amalei Ravina. So again, we understand right away, you know, that's a hard question to understand, because once you believe that Afkinu works, so why shouldn't it work across the board? Right. So is this Havamina that you should distinguish between Kedushei Kesef and Kedushei Bia? Is it really, you know, for technical reasons, right, in terms of the mechanism, or maybe it's not even a din of the mechanism, maybe it's more of a din, it's like a meta-halachic question. Would the Chachamim do this? They might do this, but would they even do that? Right, which is also very fascinating. Or is there really some fundamental difference between Kiddushei Kesef and Kiddushei Bia, which of course is the view of Rabos of Shorashi. But even without saying Rabos of Shorashi, maybe there are other ways to explain that Kiddushei Bia, right, is more absolute and more tamper-proof, you know, than Kiddushei Kesef. Terms of the Chacham. So these are all things that we're going to discuss, but just reading the Gemara, it's important to know what the challenges are. Okay, so this line is a very challenging line that all Rishonim, all Mefarshim, have trouble with. Because if you're already going to say, Kol Mekadesh Adatad Rabbanu Mekadesh Afkinu Rabbanu Kedushim Hinei, whatever the relationship is between those two sentences, once you decide that there is such a thing, why the next line? Why do you think that you should distinguish between Bia and Kesef? Okay, what's the Gemara's answer? Bilasa bilasnas. Depending on what the question is, obviously, what is the answer as well? Is the answer, you know, the whole problem is, you know, a would the Chachamim do it? And the answer, this somehow explains, you know, would they, could they? Or does this, you know, what does this illuminate, if anything, about Kiddushei Kesef, Kiddushei Bia, Koach Chachamim, etc.? So we have to look at the various perushim of this Shaka Vatar. Okay, that we're going to get back to. That's our Kesef Medivrei Sofrim and Afkinu topic. Okay. Then the Gemara has a whole rendition again, quickly. Go ahead, Ika D'Amri. B'chein L'Din Gittin, right? So we're starting the opposite. Meisvei. Instead of being a Raya, it's Akasha. Right? Go ahead. Yeah. So then the Gemara says, Leolam. Okay, good. Same Shaka Vatari. Just to go ahead. Ain't got the Misa Tanile. Vilma. Go ahead. Okay. Toshma. Okay, go ahead. Okay, good. Now we're up to Takana Sezer, which we read this next Gemara to. Fine. So that's a Shaka Vatari. So the Gemara basically ends up, so if you had to sum it all up, David? Two deus, whether or not Yesh Ones Beget, The Habamina was that this is a question, is a fundamental question of Yesh Onas B'Tanai, right? And Lamaskana, the Gemara says Yesh Onas B'Tanai, and it turns out that the debate is more whether or not Yesh Onas B'Get, right? Whether or not you apply the din, the unbelievable mechudash din of Afgin, right? And then they have the Gemara's another Shaka V'Tarya about Afginu itself. Challenging it and then seemingly accepting it, and then once it accepts it, you know, still challenging whether there's a difference between Kesev Ogiyah, and then giving some sort of an answer. And we need to sort all that out, but not right now. One thing at a time. So the one thing at a time itself isn't one thing. It's really, well, it's one thing, but it's an interface between several things. So let's get back to the question itself of Yesh Onas B'Tanai. So what do you think? What is that going to, what do we have so far about that, even in this reading of the Gemara, and what do you think needs to be investigated here? Right, we had two ways even to read the Shaka V'Tarya of the Gemara. When the Gemara thought it was analyzing Yesh Onas B'Tanai, yes or no, right? The two, I'm just what we've seen so far already, and then I'm going to ask you what you think we should be doing going forward. But what have we seen so far? There are two perspectives, right? One is, okay, you're sticking with the shter, I like that. Yeah. A shver shter, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. So I think that's exactly the two approaches, even when you read the Gemara, that jumps out at you, and these are the two approaches to take. All right, the second approach is basically that the question of Yesh Onas B'Tanai is all about umdana, right? And, you know, maybe what level umdana you require, etc. But it sounds like that the question of Onas and Tanai is very amenable, very flexible. You know, Lu Yitzuya, we could figure out what this person wants, you know, what his real kavana is, you know, what's his real interest. If he had all the facts in front of him, what path would he be choosing? If we could figure that out, that would be Koveya. Okay, now there are still a whole science, you know, a halachic science, you know, to try to figure that out. Right, there's a world of umdanas, right? And the second parak of Ksuvis has a bunch of them. All over Shas there are umdanas, right? And, you know, we have some rules about umdanas. There are different levels of umdanas, right? Every umdana, you know, has to contend with the problem of dvarim shebelev, you know, enam dvarim, right? That's a rule. And, if not for dvarim shebelev, enam dvarim, you know, formal transactions would be jeopardized, would be hefker. But at the same time, notwithstanding dvarim shebelev enam dvarim, right, we do rely on umdanas. Not only do we rely on umdanas, sometimes we characterize umdanos, you know, with very high stature by calling them what? Jonathan?
Anansadi.
And you can't do better than that because that's Eidos, right? And Eidos is facts, right? So some, you know, we talk even about, we really treat some anansadis like, you know, like literally, as we speak, like, you know, ein migu b'makom eidin. People apply that to anansadis even. We even saw that, you know, the Orzarua thought that, you know, a very strong anansadi could take the place of Eidikil. Right? Now, some people say that's the pshat of you know, that if Eide Chasima can serve the function of Eide Kiyum, right, in Gittin or Kedushin, that it's based on the fact that it's that kind of an Ansadi. Right? Chaim didn't understand it that way. He understood that it was really Eidos. But certainly, you know, the Nesivas and others, they really understood it that way. So what I'm just trying to show is, on the one hand, we have Dvarim Shebelev Enam Dvarim. On the other hand, we have even something as strong as and treated as Eidos as Anansadi, and Anansadi is an Umdana. In between that, you have, you know, umdanas that are not anansadi, but that still, you know, prevail. And there are different levels of umdana, right? So it could be that this is what our sug is about. You know, when a person makes a tanai, so in the end of the day, we're, you know, interested in figuring out, you know, whether he wants to be mevgarish or not, or whether he wants to be kaddish or not, whether he wants to be mocher sadehu or not. So part of that is based on the tanai that he makes. And the rest of it, you know, there's a lot of you know, in between. Right, Moshe Lamada Verdome. This is directly relevant to what we're about to discuss anyway. Right, when you make a Tanai, there are Mishpatei Tanai. You don't just make a Tanai. Right, there's a Parsha of B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain. And, you know, Nachalas Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara in Ksuvas and Kedushin, a number of places, particularly in Kedushin, tells us that Tanai B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruvain was the paradigm of Tanaim in general. Right? So you require, you know, Kefel Hadvarim, right? You can't just say it in one direction. You have to say, you know, if you do this, then this will happen. If you don't, then it won't. Right? Tanai Kafel, it's called. And Hain Kodim Lalav, there's a debate among the Rishonim, whether Hain Kodim Lalav is in the Nisuach HaTanai, possibly Rambam Ravid, right? Or it's in the actual, you know, formulation of the Tanai. We'll get back to that. That might be an important idea. But Hain Kodim Lalav, normally. Tanai Kafel. Right, Tanai Umaisa shouldn't be Bedavar Echad. Right, the whole discussion, particularly in the third parak of Kiddushin and the seventh, a little bit of the sixth too, but mostly the seventh parak of Gittin, and of course strewn throughout Shas, of, you know, the dinim of Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvein, the Tanai, the conditions, Mishpatei Tanai of Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvein. So again, Tanai Kafel, Hein Kodem Lalav. Tanai Maisa shouldn't be Bedavar Echad, whatever that means. It's a big machlokas of Rishonim. Masna Masakasa B'Torah, you know, if it's not Tanai Dabar Shabbat Mammon, certainly it's not Chal. If it is Dabar Shabbat Mammon, as we know, it's Machlokas Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. Tanai Bedavar She'ef Shalakaimo, right, is a deficient kind of a Tanai. Tanai She, you know, Bedavar She'ef Shalasa Sayyidei Shliach, if you remember, right, our discussions of Nisuin and Kiddushin, the Sugin Ksuvah Stav Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says Kol She'eshno B'Shlichos, She'eshno B'Tanai, Kol She'eino B'Shlichos, Eino B'Tanai. So there are all sorts of rules. Okay? And yet, there seems to be a big machlokas of Rishonim. What happens when you have an Umdana Demuchach without a Mishpatei Tanai? Right, so on the surface, you haven't dotted your I's and you haven't crossed your T's and you haven't formulated a proper legal condition. On the other hand, like, we know what you really meant, what you wanted. Does that matter? Right, how formalistic is our transactions? You know, maybe they all just need to be technically, contractually sound. So this is a big machlokas of Rishonim. Again, part of this dialectic of, you know, Dvarim Shemalei Veinam Dvarim, on the one hand, you know, but Umdana Demuchach on the other. So the Bali Tosis, for example, all over the place, you know, the famous discussion of this in the second parak of Kiddushin, and then again in the first parak of Kiddushin, and then in Sukkah. Right, hi, man, there was a certain man, the man doesn't mean man, but, right. There was a certain fellow who wanted to make aliyah, right? And he sold all of his property. Right, this is the Gemara in Mem Tes Amud Beis. And right, who gavur the zavin lenichse adaiti lemesek leeretz Yisrael, who beinu the zavin lomer velomidi. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava, have a dvarim shabalei, dvarim shabalei, veinam dvarim." But if he said something, let's say he said, "Ah, I'm so excited, can't wait. You know, 2 more weeks. You know, we're, you know, when we book passage on the boat, you know, to Eretz Yisrael." So what if he said that? So it says, "Mash madapka mishum shalom pirish dvara." Right, so this is, I mean, they have this discussion all over Shas with the Bali Tosis and the other Rishonim. What are the parameters? Some of the Rishonim here in Kiddushin, Mem Tes Amud Beis, have very fascinating, the Rajba, the Ritva, Kalalim, about Dvarim Shebalev. and elsewhere. Okay? So the Bali Tosis, at least, tell us that, you know, V'Rashbam Piresh, to answer this question, Gabi Esro Gamanas Lahakzir, Mitzir Yatza, Lo Mitzir Lo Yatza, Avagav Debina Tanai Kafal, Animili Be Iser, Kamiskachli Amanasha Titnili Masayim Zuz, Chem Beget, Avabamamo, Lo Bina Tanai Kafal. We'll get back to this. That maybe the requirement of Mishpatei Tanayim is only in matters of Iser and Ishus, Get and Iser, but Iser and Ishus, basically. That what we learn. That's what we learn now. These requirements, but Mamon Lo Bina Tanai Kafal. This is one of the views of the Gaonim, which we'll see in just a moment more fully. V'lo Nehira, says Tosas. This is something that the Ravid right, discusses as well. We'll get that back to that very quickly. But Omari, the Tzorech HaChalik, V'lomar, D'yesh Dvarim, Shenim Tzrichim Tanai Kofel, Elegili Milsa, Danan Sadi, Dadai to the Hochi Avid. Gam Yesh Dvarim, Dafilu Gili Milsa Loboi. Kagona Hida Kosev, Kol Nechosev La'Cherim, Shamash Yesh Loben, Shamas Shamatana Betela. Kena Kosev, Kol Nechosev La'Ishto, Lo asal la patrapa, she'ein omdim, shanu omdim, sorry, shalakachay b'daito, k'mochen anan sadi do azavin ala daito, l'mesek, l'ara, v'yisra. Okay? So, basically, Tosis suggests, right, that gili milsa, or orumdana, can overcome the need for mishpatei t'nai. Okay? Tosis in other places, says this in various ways. Sometimes Tosa says it, sometimes they don't. Tosa in Kedushin Das Vav Med Beis talks about the Esro case, really Sugin Sukkadaf Mem Aleph Med Beis. Helich Mana Al Menashe Shetach Zreili. Right? So, Helich Esro Gzeal Menashe Shetach Zreili. Right? The guy says, I'm giving you this esrog, the first day, so you need lachem, and you know, but it's conditioned upon have to give back to me matana manas lahaksir, and matana manas lahaksir shma matana, right? So I can use it also for lachem. So that's what happens. Not lo vexiro yatzav imlav lo yatzav. So Bali Tosis Oliver Shas asks this question: Vim tomar this kedushin vabbe beis. Amai lo yatsa, alohaya tanai kafel. Right? So Tosis here says, Yeshlomar di ike tanai de lo boi kafel. Gion hocha shayadaita shivare chavero al esrog shalo. Ugdolamizos omru, hau gaber, the zama nixe adaita le mesa glare di Israel, will appear shalomidi vasofo solik, boi le meheder. Gomar avuna vidvarm shablai benim dvarm, mash medafka de lo pirish. Of the Pir Shabbat tonight, Alpha Gabdullah Kafle, Vachanan Isa de Mishames, and so on. Tosis in Sukkah doesn't give this answer. Right? Tosis in Sukkah says that Ikar is Chasser Min HaSefer, or at least that isn't the Gemara's focus. Tosis in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Second. The Shimokom Eimedak the Kashas Bilishono, Lahakdim Tnai Lamaiso, Tnai Kafel, the Hain Kod Nolav, Avagav the Behochi Mairi, El Shimakatsu Lishono, Shalo Al Chidush Ze, Bola Hashmienu. Okay, so basically, what I'm trying to say is, you have different answers to this question. Some Rishonim think that Mishpatei Tanayim, can be dropped when there's a very strong omdana, and others do not. Within this machlokes, there also seems to be another machlokes, and that is, if mishpatei tanayim are affected by an omdana de muchach, so does it matter which mishpatei tanayim we're talking about? Because, again, the Tosas I just read in Sukkah is asking, you know, not possibly not just about Tanai Kafel, but maybe Tanai Maisa B'davar Echad. The formulation, you just have to look at the Rishonim in the different places. Sometimes the answer of Umdana is given beyond Tanai Kafel, to include even Hayden Kodem Alav, maybe even Tanai Maisa B'davar Echad. In some cases, like Tosis and Kedushin, Davam Med Beis, it's given only with respect to the formulation ones. Right? Aloha v'tanai kafel, yesh lomar. Then he gives the answer. Then Tosis asks in the continuation, Yim tomar b'lo gzira ma'ila yotza, ha v'tanai ma'isa b'davar echad, v'tanai batel. The Tosis seems to be saying that if Tanai Maisa is B'davar Echad, and that's a problem, even if you accept the view that Umdana helps you for the Nisuach HaTanai, it doesn't help you for Tanai Maisa B'davar Echad. Okay? So what's that all about? That seems to be a separate Machlokas Rishon. So I think the point is as follows. The din that Umdana matters in Mishpatei Tanayim, right, could be understood in several ways. The most innocuous, if it does help at all, the most innocuous is to say that it can fill in lacuna, a formulation, a purely formalistic requirement. In other words, I'm supposed to say, if you do this, then X, and if you don't do it, then, you know, negative X. Right? That's Tanai Kafel. So, when it's an umdana d'muchach, the point is not so much that you don't, maybe the point isn't that you don't need a, that mishpatei tanaim, but that's implicit. Clearly, you know, you only need to say if this, then if not that. If there's any possibility, you know, that the klal lav ataloshe mehein or the klal hein ataloshe me'ala. But if there's an umdana muchak, it's as if he said it. That's one way to draw the line. In exactly the opposite direction, what you might say is, whenever there's an umdana muchak, especially if it's a strong one, what you have is mekach tos. So either way, you're never going to allow a situation, I'm taking the extremes first, you're never going to allow a situation where you're going to say, t'nai batel v'hamaisa kaya. Right? It's got to be everything or nothing. This idea that, you know, you didn't formulate your t'nai properly, so the transaction goes ahead, but the protections are not there, that just can't be, because the umdana basically says you're lacking das. It's not a game. Right? When you transact something, whether it's a mechira, a gittin, a kedushin, a hekda, whatever it is, right, there's a requirement of das. So the umdana, according to this perspective, doesn't just substitute for the nisuach advarim. It establishes whether something is a mekach tos or not. And there's very little give to mekach tos. Of course, the umdana would have to be particularly strong, right, for it to constitute mekach tos. But if it does, then it would affect not only, you know, Tanai Kafel, but even substantive issues that seemingly would make a Tanai Batel and a Maisa Kayam. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Maisa is going to be Kayam, but it at least will not allow for that in-between situation. Like what we say if... you know, it's davar she'efshar lasos, or keneged haTorah, unless you say that the whole Tanai was just a, you know, a chucha utlula, it wasn't serious to begin with. Okay. But basically, that's what we mean when we talk about mekach tos. In between saying that it's a mekach tos and saying that umdana can only substitute, right, for the nisuach haTanai, and for things like mechala lava tashar mehein, is the possibility that umdana matters, umdana is a factor in das. It's not exactly mekach tos, but we should be looking at the tanai, or interpreting the tanai, or let's say viewing the tanai and the dine tanai as competing with, you know, his das alamaisa. Oh. And that's exactly where umdana, right, comes into our topic in a very significant way. Because here's a person who set up a tanai, he was serious about the basic transaction, and we want to know there's an umdana, right, that under these conditions he wouldn't want it, but he made a tanai. So now the question is, you know, assuming it's not strong enough to be, you know, an absolute mekachtos, but we're also not talking about mishpatei tnaim and nisuach, right? To what extent does the umdana, right, integrate into his das? Not because of some question whether we believe what he would have wanted, but since transactions are formalistic, and they do have to stand on their own for them to be effective, and for society to function, because dvarim shebalei beinam dvarim. So in that interaction, what role do they play? Oh. So here, in our particular case, right, we need to integrate two issues. One is, how do we assess ones? Right, to what extent is ones going to be impactful here? And the other is, what role does Tnai really play in the bigger picture of the Maisa? Is the Tnai itself part of the Das ala Mecher or ala Gittin or ala Kedushin, such that we say, well, it's part of the Das, and the Umdana is part of the Das as well, so you have to calculate the Umdana aspect if you're trying to figure out whether the Tnai, you know, has been fulfilled or should be ma'akev or not. Or no. Maybe Tanai should not be seen as part of the Das Alamaisa. Maybe Tanai is something that is more of a itself a legalistic or formalistic entity that could be mevatel a transaction, but that really is extraneous to the das in the transaction. In which case, the umdana, right, unless it's integrated into the tnai, but if the umdana is only about the mecher, as long as it isn't on the level of mekachtos, right, it wouldn't be effective, it wouldn't have anything to do with the tnai question. Okay, everybody with me so far? Questions or? Okay, that's the setup, that's really what we want. What we want to figure out. Okay, so that question, you know, leads us to two things. Number one, to try to figure out to what extent, to use the language of the Gemara in Ksuvos, but the way that it was understood by some of the Rishonim and then later by the Achronim, to what extent is Tnai milsa achriti? To what extent is Tnai something which is, you know, integrated into the das on the transaction? Or is it something that you set up as an extraneous apparatus that will block a transaction, but that it isn't necessarily defined as part of the das on the transaction? That's question number one. Number two, the more we look at Tnai in a formalistic way as milsa achriti, right, the less justified umdana is going to be, you know, in competing with or defining what the Tanai is, because we're taking a more formalistic approach. Wow. And once we're doing that, so then we have to ask ourselves whether or not maybe the role of Ones, right, shouldn't be assessed not in terms of Umdana, like he didn't want it, did he? I mean, not against his will. But whether Ones's role here, to use David's correct terminology, is more of a formalistic one, right? Namely, Ones Keman de Ovid, Onus Keman de Lo Ovid, in which case we'll have an approach to explain that maybe there's a difference between, you know, Ones, which is Mekayim Atnai, Ones, which is Mevatel Atnai, etc. Gufa, the question whether or not Atnai, in the context of a transaction, right, is going to be viewed as something which integrates into the Das, and therefore is more vulnerable, right, or more sensitive to umdanas about what the guy really, really wants in the case, or not. In addition to the broader objective question of Tanai being milsa achriti or not, right, is it possible that the way that the Tanai is structured matters as well? In other words, if I set up a Tanai as a kumbase, or as a Sheval Taisa, or if I'm focused on Kiyama Tanai, or if I'm focused on Bitala Tanai, Well, that itself may be koveya, whether or not we look at this particular tnai as something that integrates into the das on the mecher, or the get, or the kiddushin, or something which remains extraneous. Yosef looks like...
This is very funny.
What?
This is very funny.
What's very funny?
You said Yosef looks like...
No, you look like you're either about to object to something, or...
No, I was very excited.
Oh, you're excited? Okay.
It's cool.
Good. I like it. Okay. I'm with you on that. Right. It's cool, and, you know, it's a little staring at the same time. Right? If we can integrate the worlds of cool and the worlds of staring, then we're good. We can do it with our eyes closed. Okay. So, So what we really want to do is, first of all, just acknowledge that the possibility, this is the setup, and then hopefully on Sunday or Monday, or however it works out, we'll try to move quickly through the details. So the first thing to acknowledge is that there is a very important discussion already in the Yerushalmi, right? Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Kiddushin and Gittin. And then there's the Machlokas HaRishonim, there's the Ran's take on the Yerushalmi. Okay. There's also Machlokas HaRishonim here, among others, the Ra'ah and the Ritva, whether we're Mechalek between Kiyum Ashtar Ayde Ones, you know, it's Imlo Basi and Lo Ba Ba'ones, like we said, Areza Get. What about, you know, Im Avo Ba'ones, right, Im Avo Areza Get, Velo Ba Machmas Ones, which as the Ritva says, but he's, in the end of the day, you know, if we want to do the Yiddish, we say, what is it? Onesh. I know about the Morgan part. What's the other part? Tamar, want to help me out here? Spent a lot of time in the Yeshiva Shevelt, right? Onesh, whatever, Onesh Morgan. No? No. It's not Nacht and Morgan, it's something. You know, meaning Onesh today and Onesh tomorrow, in the end of the day, you know, Lo Ba, right, is in the end of the day, if he's not, he didn't come. So if you have a kiyum, you know, if he's lo ba ba'ones, and you want to figure out whether or not lo ba ba'ones is shma lo ba, right, whether maisa ba'ones shma maisa, whether ones is kiman da'avid, in other words, that's one issue. But where you need, right, an event to take place, and it doesn't happen because of an ones, as we've discussed, a bitul ba'ones, or a lo kiyum, you know, which doesn't happen, but which doesn't happen bonus lo kiyem bonus, right? So in the end of the day, you still don't have it. Right. So the more that we're trying to figure out whether or not onus is command to avid, onus is command to lo avid, that all works within the formalistic approach here. If we ever want to say that onus bibitul hatnai shma, or is the equivalent of kiyum hatnai, right, we can't do that formalistically. That we can only do if we assume that the tnai is a kind of bil sakriti, or and we read his mind and we try to figure out his das in the case. So what we need to do is basically look on three levels. We need to figure out, are we dealing with umdinas in the Gemara or categories? Right. On the one hand, the Gemara says in the Darim, we'll read that Gemara on Sunday, Mirtz Hashem. But the first line of the Gemara Nedarim about Nidreonis is, you know, what are you talking about? Ulanar lasasa dabar, ones rachmana patre. Right. And then the next line of the Gemara, Abi, is? Shema katala shiny. Right? So is that just like a, you know, an adjustment? Or is that the Gemara's way of saying, don't quote Ulnar al Sasadavar Onus Rahmana Patre here. We're not talking about Onshim. We're not talking about blame. We're talking about whether you had a Kiyum Atnai of the Neder or that's Gufa, what the Gemara is telling us. But Rashi quotes it here. Right? So we have to work on three fronts. A, are we dealing with Umdanos or are we dealing with Hagdaros? B, is Tnai Milsa Achriti generally or not? And possibly, should that be qualified by the type of tnai or the area of the tnai, etc.? That's question number two. And question number three, in applying to the first two, is ones keman da'avid, or is, you know, is onus rachmana patre mean something totally different? Okay. These are the three issues. Okay, so let's assume that we're going to start. A, we're just going to get the Gemara Nedarim in on the record. Okay, then we're just going to get the Rishalmi and the Ritva and the Ra'ah and the Ran on the record, you know, just to show factually that these Machloksim exist. Then I want to step back and just analyze these two questions as quickly as we can, because they're massive topics, but you know, we're not going to give it more than a day or two. So I'll start with Tanai Milsakariti, the Makoros that that I gave you to look at quickly, and then spend a couple of minutes also on Ones, and whether it's Command Ovid or not, and then we'll put it together in terms of what emerges from this Sogya. Okay, so that's Mirtz Hashem Sunday, or Sunday Monday, and then I want to start Kesef Medivrei Sofrim and Afkin. By the way, I mentioned the Rush Memvav, whatever the number is. And I said there was another one in Lamed Hes, Lamed Hey.
Yeah.
It's Lamed Hey Tes.
Okay.
It's, the bigger one is Memvav, but there are just a couple of lines in Lamed. If you want to get a chance, it's Lamed Hey Tes.